So tonight we are looking at the 11th chapter of John, which is a very interesting story, starting with the first verse of 11. Now a man was sick, Lazarus, from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair. And it was her brother Lazarus who was sick. So the sisters sent a message to him, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When Jesus heard it, he said, "This sickness will not end in death, but is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha, her sister, and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days in the place where he was. Then after that, he said to the disciples, "Let's go to Judea again." "Rabbi," the disciples told him, "just now the Jews tried to stone you, and you're going there again? Aren't there 12 hours in a day?" Jesus answered, "If anyone walks during the day, he doesn't stumble, because he sees the light of this world. If anyone walks during the night, he does stumble." Gonna have to get a lozenge. There we go. Now we should be in action. "If anyone walks during the night, he does stumble because the light is not in him." He said this, and then he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm on my way to wake him up." Then the disciples said to him, "Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he will get well." And Jesus, however, was speaking about his death, but they thought he was speaking about natural sleep. So Jesus then told them plainly, "Lazarus has died. I'm glad for you that I wasn't there so that you may believe. But let's go to him." Then Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let's go so we may die with him." That's with Jesus. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. Many of the Jews had come to Mary and Martha to comfort them about their brother. As soon as Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Then Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Yet even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." "Your brother will rise again," Jesus told her. Martha said, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, even if he dies, will live. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die, ever. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him, "I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who comes into the world." Having said this, she went back and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." As soon as she heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Jesus had not yet come into the village, but he was still in the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house, consoling, where is it? Consoling her, saw that Mary got up quickly and went out. So they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to cry there. When Mary came to where Jesus was, she saw him. She fell at his feet and told him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her crying, and the Jews who had come with her, crying, he was angry in his spirit and deeply moved. "Where have you put him?" he asked. "Lord," they told him, "come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Couldn't he who opened the blind man's eyes also have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, angry at himself again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. "Remove the stone," Jesus said. Martha, the dead man's sister, told him, "Lord, he's already decaying. It's been 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Didn't I tell you if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they removed the stone. Then Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you heard me. I know that you always hear me. But because of the crowd standing here, I said this so they may believe you sent me." After he said this, he shouted with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, bound hand and foot with linen strips and with his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." Therefore, many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what he did believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. So the chief priests and the Pharisees convened the Sanhedrin and said, "What are we going to do since this man does many signs? If we let him continue in this way, everyone will believe in him. Then the Romans will come and remove both our place and our nation." One of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all. You're not considering that it is to your advantage that one man should die for the people rather than the whole nation perish." He did not say this on his own, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus was going to die for the nation. And not for the nation only, but also to unite the scattered children of God. So from that day on, they plotted to kill him. Therefore, Jesus no longer walked openly among the Jews, but departed from there to a countryside near the wilderness, to a town called Ephraim, and he stayed there with the disciples. The Jewish Passover was near, and many went up to Jerusalem from the country to purify themselves before the Passover. They were looking for Jesus and asking one another as they stood in the temple complex, "What do you think? He won't come to the festival, will he?" The chief priests and the Pharisees had given orders that if anyone knew where he was, he should report it so they could arrest him. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Help us to understand it. Go with us. Help us to be good servants. Help us to understand Jesus, and through that, to understand you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, death is produced by sin, and it demonstrates how serious sin is. Physical death shows what sin does in the spiritual realm. Physical death separates from people. Spiritual death separates from God. This is why God set up the sacrificial system. Because literally, when they sinned, when you made a sin offering, something had to die. And you had to watch it die. And you had to put your hand on it and put your sins on this animal. And it would die. And you would understand, this is how serious this is. This poor little critter just died because you sinned. Lazarus is only mentioned here, and in chapter 12. And in chapter 12, they're only mentioning him because they're saying that it ticked off the Jews that everybody saw him and said he was dead, and this man brought him back to life. The sisters assumed Jesus would come right away. But Jesus delayed until the proper time. Now, one of the most interesting things about this is that if you read the fact that Jesus took 2 days before he left and then 2 more days to get there, that's 4 days. And it says Lazarus was in the grave for 4 days. So the people had told Jesus that Lazarus had died, got to Jesus at exactly the time Lazarus was dying. And Mary and Martha knew that. This becomes important in a minute. When he does go, the disciples try to stop him. They think he will be killed. He will, but not right away. Jesus says, this is the way God wants it. You notice through the book of John, you're constantly seeing timing. He asks his mom. His mom asks him to change water into wine. My time is not yet. So he very quietly does it. I think she wanted him to just create wine or whatever. But he's trying to be real quiet about it. He's trying to say, it's not my time yet to come forward. Various people he has healed. He said, don't go tell anybody because it's not my time yet. Because he knew that when his time came, that was when they were going to say, okay, too much power, we're going to kill him. So he was trying to keep this under control. Thomas says, well, okay, let's go to Judea and die with him, with Jesus. You know, many people pick on Thomas because later on he says, I'll only believe if I see, you know, and he says, Thomas is just this real practical guy. And he figures if Jesus says, we got to go back to Judea, and you say, if you do, you're going to die, then I'm going with him and die with him, because that's the way it is. Jesus is my teacher, and I'm following him. I'm his disciple. So Thomas was not really such a bad guy. He was just very, very practical. Oh, he's risen. I believe I want to see some evidence of this. But boy, when he saw it, he just hit the ground. We'll see that in future chapters. Now, in the Jewish culture, burial is the same day as death. Jewish funeral homes are really good at doing this quickly because literally it's just like within 24 hours. If you died at noon, they want you to bury tomorrow morning or whatever. But, you know, it's just... And it's interesting because when you're buried, you're not allowed to be wearing anything. You're buried naked, wrapped in a shroud. That's it.
Why is that?
Naked you came into the world, and naked you're going to go out. That's, you know, one of their little scriptures from the Old Testament, and boy, they stick to it. Now, Martha is not mad because she knew Lazarus had died before Jesus even heard. If he had been there, he could have stopped it, and that's what she's saying. Oh, Lord, if you had been here, you could have stopped it. But you weren't, so I understand. Now, some people would turn around and say, well, once he was told, he could immediately have stopped it. Well, we're not sure about that. He may have been dead, like, just before they got there or whatever, but she's not mad about it. She's just commenting on it. If he had been there, he could have stopped it. He could have just laid his hand on him. That was it. He could have stopped it. But he wasn't there. And so he says he will be resurrected. And she says, I know he'll be resurrected in the resurrection. And he says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. And this is the part where you can find the great defense for our belief. When people say Christians are intolerant, they say they are the only way. No, Jesus said he's the only way. I am the resurrection and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Later, Peter, in one of his addresses, says, "There is no other name under heaven whereby man may be saved other than Jesus." Sorry, it's in the book. I actually told this to my in-laws and got a big fight way back in when we were still in the military. Sorry, it's in the book. So then Mary comes along, and many of the people follow her. They want to see her crying and so on. So Jesus says, "Well, where did you put him?" And they tell him. Now then it says, Jesus wept, but he's not like other gods. He's not like, "Oh, well, whatever, that's just a human, screw it." Jesus was very emotional about this. He was emotional, like you had said, a couple of you, that he was emotional that his relatives had been so upset about his death. And he understood that. He was emotional that people die because of sin. And that it's terrible. Now, he knew he wasn't going to be able to stop death, but he was going to stop spiritual and eternal death. Other people then begin to ask, why could he not have stopped this? He could have just, wherever he was, he could have just said. So Jesus tells them, take away the stone. Well, he's been dead for a while here. This isn't going to be pleasant. Don't worry about it. And so then he prays and says for Lazarus to come out. And notice, he says, "Lazarus, come out." And many people have said, if he had just said, "Come out," everybody would have come out. So he had to be really specific about this. He comes out, but then they need to take off his burial clothes. Because, of course, he was dead. Now, one of the things that I always point out about things in the Bible is when people say, well, maybe they weren't really dead, or really, whatever. No, I'm sorry. When Jesus died, the Roman soldiers said, he's dead. And Roman soldiers knew dead when they saw it. These Jewish people knew dead when they saw it because they were with it a lot. They had a very hard life. So they knew when somebody was dead. This is no mistake. And so they pull off their burial clothes before he suffocates. And then some of the people go and tell the Pharisees. Many people are coming to Jesus and they're saying, look, this guy just brought somebody back to life. He just resurrected a guy. That's how much power this guy has. He's not working for God. He is God. Now, the leaders think the Romans are not going to like this. This is going to be bad. And they're going to come for us because we're supposed to be keeping people like that under control. And so then the high priest prophesies and didn't know he was prophesying, but he did. And he says, one must die for all. But he didn't understand what he was saying. He didn't understand that he was literally saying somebody perfect has to die to save everybody. So the leaders begin looking for him. They put out a bounty on him. Come and get him. So what does all this mean to us? Sometimes things happen for reasons we do not know. We look at things and we say, why is this going on? Why is Roxana having cancer? I don't know. God knows. We have to leave it in his hands and we have to trust him. He says that everything turns out well for those who are his and who follow him. You can love people and still want to follow God's will. Jesus loved Lazarus, but he knew that it was God's will that he wait, that he be sure this guy was good and dead so that glory would come to God. And nobody could say anything about it. I'm sorry, even if you're not all the way dead, if I wrap you all up in almost clothes and stick you in a tomb for 4 days, it'll kill you. If we trust, it always works out the way God wants. If we look at him and we say, if this is God's will, then it will turn out to God's glory. So our question is always only, is this in fact actually God's will? And God will never question you when you ask him, is this your will? He'll show you. Gideon, for instance, did this fleece thing. First, he wanted everything to be wet except the fleece. Okay, let's try it again. Now, everything is dry, but the fleece is soaking wet. Okay, Lord, looks to me like this must be correct. And so he went and he did what God told him. Had great success. And then the devil got to him and he kind of led him astray. But at any rate, the point is, if we trust God, if we're sure of his will and we trust him, even if we think, how many times have I said, Lord, are you sure about this? This may not work out well. And lo and behold, it always does. And so I used to have a friend way back in the early 70s. His name was Elwin Davies. He was Welsh guy from Canada. And he would say that he had tiffs with God. Have a tiff with God. And he says, I always say, Lord, I'm just not sure about this. I think we may need to go in a different direction. And he says, and the Lord always says, who's God? Well, you are, but no. Who's God? No buts. Okay, you are. Then maybe you ought to do what I tell you. Okay, Lord, I'll do what you told me. Always worked out. Always worked out. Pat actually found somebody who was supposedly the originator of the phrase, if it's God's will, it's God's bill.
Not the originator, but one of the ones that used that.
Yeah. But apparently this has been around for quite a while. Mm-hmm. So it was a famous saying by my friend Bud Gilbert, so that's where I picked it up. But at any rate, we never let money stand in the way. And they had some examples where she found this, where people literally, they needed X amount of dollars, and they looked in their bank account and they had X amount of dollars and 50 cents or something like that. So they just went and did it. And the next thing you know, money starts coming in. People suddenly said, oh, the Lord has just put it on my heart that I need to give you this big gift. And they end up with more money than they started out with, and God's will got done. And their faith grew through the roof. What Jesus has done for you makes people want the same. We're going to see this next week, and we're going to see how it really ticks off the Sanhedrin and all of the high muckety-mucks. They don't like the fact that Lazarus is this living reason to trust Jesus. And so they literally start a murder plot. But at any rate, we'll see that next week. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we've been here tonight. We just pray for our computer that you will heal it and that you will bring it back to working the way it ought to. We ask you, Lord, to show us your will about everything in our lives, what we should do and how we should do it. And give us the faith to trust you, even when it scares the daylights out of us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, and I was supposed to have Pat pray, but it ain't read.
That's right.